I know. All right. Are we all set? Okay, so I'm the judge today, I guess. This is a little different. So first of all, are we broadcasting? I would assume so. So my name's Julie Fedorchak. I'm chair of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are here for a hearing on the Elite Bison Wind Projects 1 through 4 and Clean Energy Number 1 in Oliver and Morton, Mercer County. There's a number of cases. PU-11-662, PU-09-151, PU-11-57, 11-162, and 13-127. This is a request for an extension on the requirements for adapting the light mitigating technologies. And so with me are my colleagues, Randy Christman and Brian Crosius. So we have a quorum. How we're going to work today, just to go through it, because this is our first of these hearings, requests for extensions. We have a number of them scheduled, and it's not a process that we've used before. So in talking with our attorneys, we are planning to go about it similar to a formal hearing, like it's kind of a cross between a siting hearing and a rules hearing. So I'll be the quote-unquote administrative law judge, and we will let the company go first and walk through its evidence, because this is a formal hearing and we will be basing our decision on the record that we create today. And then after that, when you guys present your information, we'll let the advisory staff go first in asking questions about whoever your witnesses are, and then commissioners will ask their questions, and I'll go with Randy and then Brian and myself. And then I don't know that advisory has a case at all to present. You don't, because you're not really, no. Okay, so after that, I think we'll open it up for public input, because there is an opportunity for the public to provide input. And then we will, at the close of public input, we will just be finished and close the hearing. So that's kind of the plan for the morning. Does that sound all right to you two, my colleagues?
Yes.
All right. Advisory staff, you're comfortable with that?
Absolutely.
And company? Okay, very good. So with that, I will call first on my colleagues for any opening comments. Commissioner Christman?
Thank you, but I don't have any opening comments.
Okay.
No comments.
All right. Then we can get right into the heart of the matter. I'm not going to be swearing in everybody today. We don't always do that in our rules hearings, so we won't be doing that today. I guess we do in the siting hearings, but we're going to trust that everybody's going to be providing information that's accurate, and we'll go with that. So we'll go ahead and allow the company to bring forward your first witness and bring them up to the stand.
Chair Fedorchak, this is David Moeller from Elite. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
All right. I apologize. My go-to meeting's not working for a webcast. I apologize. I'm sort of just calling in from the phone, but I can see it on the screen. So, I just wanted to say, I guess we have people available both remotely as well as in the room there in Bismarck today. We don't have prepared testimony. We did provide a couple pieces of information through the extension request on August 12th, as well as the letter on October 1st, and the timeline on October 11th for additional justification. And we'd be happy to have Bill Sawyer or others walk through that if you would like, but also, or I could talk through kind of at a high level, kind of our justification for the extension request. But at the same time, we also are just available to answer questions that the commissioners have to, if that be your preference, and just kind of walk through it that way and go through that. I think our evidence is in the record, I guess, is kind of what I'm trying to say without saying it articulately. And I appreciate the opportunity to appear kind of remotely as well as kind of having a timely hearing and a consolidated hearing. So we appreciate that from Minnesota Power and Elite Clean Energy.
Okay. So David, are you the kind of lead for the company?
I'm the attorney for the company on this matter. And then we have Bill Sawyer in the room for Elite Clean Energy, and then Todd Simmons remotely as well, and Ben Reister for Minnesota Power, who can answer technical questions and kind of and walk through that if that's appropriate.
David, I think what would be helpful is, why don't you first of all introduce the team in the room and or ask them to introduce themselves, and then whoever you have on the phone as well. And I do think it would be helpful to have somebody from the company present your case.
Okay.
Just even, you know, however you want to do that informally is fine, but I think you should walk through it.
be happy to, Chair Fedorchak, and so I'll let the individuals in the room introduce themselves just so that's easier trying to do it remotely.
Good morning, Chair Fedorchak and Commissioners. Bill Sawyer with Elite Clean Energy. I am the General Manager of Operations.
Good morning. My name is Blue Nalder. I'm the Wind Site Manager for Glen Ullin Energy Center.
Which energy center?
I'm sorry. Glen Ullin Energy Center.
Glen Ullin. And your
which
name
is Clean,
was
Clean Energy.
Oh, Clean
on
Energy.
The list.
On the list.
Oh, okay.
Blue, what was your last name?
Nalder. Nalder.
And it was Blue. Oh, I heard Lynn. Huh. Okay. Thank you, Blue.
Good morning. Mitchell Bettenhausen. I'm the lead at Clean Energy One.
So the Bison projects?
Be Glen Ullin Energy Center.
Yeah. Oh, Clean Energy. All right, so you don't have anyone in the room on the Bison projects, or is that you, Bill?
Thank you, Chair. We have two people on the phone.
Okay.
Representing Minnesota Power and the Bison projects.
Got it. All right, so
Todd or Ben, do you want to go next? Does that work?
Sure. This is Todd Simmons, General Manager for the Bison Wind Project. I'm WebExing it. Can you hear me okay?
You sound good, Todd. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is Ben Reister, Site Manager at the Bison Wind Site.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. So, Ben and Todd, are you both in North Dakota?
This is Todd. I am not.
Where are you based?
This is Ben. I am.
So this week Ben's on vacation, but he called in, and I am in Cohasset, Minnesota.
I'm sorry. And is Ben normally in North Dakota? Located where?
That's correct. I'm located at the Bison site itself.
Okay. Very good. All right. David, is that your whole team?
That is Chair Fedorchak.
All right, very good. So who wants to take the lead in providing the, going through your case?
I can do a high level that maybe Bill can supplement if that's okay from our standpoint. And then and then Ben and Todd can add to that. As you said, too, this is the first time for this type of hearing, so we're kind of working through the process as well, but we appreciate kind of having a timely opportunity to hear our extension request that we filed in August. And I think that, as we noted in the August 12th letter, and the primary reason for why we're asking for an extension from the North Dakota statutory deadline of the end of 2021 is because of vendor delays in getting this technology installed. We had put the contracts in place in late 2020. We had gone through kind of working through the process and getting all the milestones and schedules in place, and working through that, you know, and getting everything else ready to have this installed. We also wanted to make sure the technology was, you know, what was appropriate technology for these sites, looking at FAA requirements, looking at other requirements as we go forward. So we started looking at this, you know, when the law was passed, but we also wanted to make sure that we had the best available technology to install. So we entered into contracts in late 2020 with milestones to have it installed well before the commission, or sorry, the North Dakota statutory requirements. But we were notified in July that because of chip delays and or other chip manufacturing issues and other delays from the vendor, that the installation would not be available to be installed on time and with those milestones. And so we submitted the extension request. But we still continue to have gone forward and put in the foundations, done the site work, gotten all the applicable permits and requirements that we need to for this work. So we're ready and to install when the technology is here and available. So including we had to get a conditional site permit from Oliver County. So we went through that process. And so I think that's our main, and so the main justification, is to because of the vendor. We also think, we did work through, have been working through this process and kind of take this very seriously and working with our landowners and working with others to make sure that we get this installed and comply with North Dakota law. And we're asking for just a 4-month extension. I mean, we may be done earlier than that, but we want to make sure we had sufficient time to have this in place and ready to go. But that's kind of our main case, and we're happy to answer questions, or Bill or Todd or Ben, if you have other things to add to that, please do so.
Maybe we'll go around and ask you questions first, just to keep it kind of somewhat orderly, and then Bill, you can be thinking about what you want to add. So Brian and Pat, do you guys have any questions?
I do. So when, according to the timeline, it was quarter three of 2020 when you guys decided to go with ADLS versus LIDS, is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Let's stick with David answering the questions for now, since he's the one that's on the record.
If you want to pass, feel free to pass, and we can identify who we need to talk to. But to keep the information coming from one person at a time, I think that would be best.
Plus, we have to remember, I'm not sure if there's public listening, but there could be public listening, so that's why we have to be as clear and, like, I don't want to be super formal, but somewhat structured.
So the company was not waiting for approval, like, into this summer for LIDS, is that correct?
That's correct. And I don't know if Ben would like to add to that as well.
Sure. The initial statement was correct that ADLS was chosen in Q3 2020. We were getting told by our vendors that we needed to get an order in about 8 months ahead of time. So we wanted to do that definitely by the end of 2020, first part of 2021.
Okay.
Hold on now. Who was that was just talking?
That was Ben Reister from Minnesota Power.
So David, why I apologize. Don't you just
should we identify ourselves before we talk with a remote hearing? Would that work best?
Why don't you just say, like, if you don't have the answer, say, we'll have Ben answer that in a minute, or we'll have David or Bill can address that. And then you guys can keep track of the questions that are coming your way. And then when it's your turn to speak, you can answer them. Does that work?
That works great. Thank you.
Perfect.
I guess maybe the best question is, would it be beneficial for us to, I mean, do you have any information or questions that you can answer, or are they all going to be passed off so we should move to the next person?
I can answer at a high level, but I'm not the engineer or the person on the ground running the program or kind of working through the installation. And Ben Reister and Bill Sawyer are probably in the best situation to answer these questions as appropriate. And I'm fine having sending them off to them. If that works for everybody.
I guess I won't have any further questions for you then, and I'll wait till we put one of them on the spot.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Pat, you want to defer to? Or do you have some questions you want to ask? Okay. Commissioner Christman?
Well, okay, so I have some questions I was going to ask you, but that I will now defer. But I think this, a couple questions that are probably more for you, David. Tell me a little bit about the thought process, and you can correct me if you interpret this differently. I believe that the law was passed requiring this to be implemented by the end of 2021 in the spring of 2017. So you probably saw this coming in March or April, whenever the second house, whoever had it second, passed it. It presumably became law that summer on August 1st. And so from August 1st of 2017 until the third quarter of 2020, what was going on? That is really my concern. There was nothing that said that these had to be installed in the fourth quarter of 2021. They had to be installed by the end of 2021. So tell me about that time frame and why this wasn't moving forward then.
Thank you, Commissioner Christman. That's a fair question. I mean, we were aware of the law when it was enacted, and then the four bison sites were in service at that point. Glen Ullin from Elite Clean Energy was not yet in service, but was you know, when it went in service, was the law did apply to it. And I completely agree that we did not have to wait until the end of 2021 to have it in service. I think, and this is probably more of an engineering answer than it is a legal answer, and our engineers are probably better addressed to kind of how we were evaluating it. But we were evaluating the technology, kind of the two competing technologies, ADLS and LIDS, and what would work best, you know, and what had been through the FAA process and going through that. And so we were continuing to evaluate that and what made sense to both minimize impacts to the environment as well as be a technology that would be workable over the long term. And so I think that's kind of the evaluation that we were doing. And as we put in the timeline, we were getting proposals from various vendors in that time frame and evaluating that. And then once Glen Ullin went in service in 2019, we looked at ways to combine the five facilities, you know, both from Elite Clean Energy and Minnesota Power, and if there's ways to do it on a combined basis as well at that point. And so then we started going down that path as well. And if I'd be happy to have Mr. Reister or Mr. Sawyer add additional clarity if that would help, Commissioner.
Okay, yep, and they'll get their turn.
So okay.
you're from your perspective, the first two or three years, you didn't mention the cost being less potentially. As I took notes, he says to minimize environmental impact. Mm-hmm. So that was the primary reason that you were looking at the LIDS potential instead of just moving forward with ADLS?
I think it was, Commissioner Christman, I think it was to, I mean, we always are considering cost, you know, on behalf of ratepayers and customers. And so I'm not saying we didn't consider cost, but I think it was mostly environmental impacts and well as technology development and the status of FAA, you know, how the FAA was reviewing these technologies. And so we were trying to evaluate all that together in talking with vendors and evaluating what the two competing technologies are and what would be best for these sites.
Do you want to talk about what the big environmental difference was that you thought it would lessen the environmental impact, or is that for someone else?
It'd probably be for Mr. Sawyer or for Mr. Reister. Okay. To address.
And you said you have a conditional use permit from Oliver County?
That's correct.
Is one needed? I don't know if any of this would get into Mercer County, but is one needed from Morton or Mercer?
There's not one needed from Mercer at all, just because of the site or kind of where the site is. And Morton County does not require one, is our understanding.
Do you know when you received the permit from Oliver?
We received it on September 2nd, 2021. And we can file that in the record if the commission would like.
there now.
Yeah.
The installation of the equipment that you're waiting on, that you, the foundations and everything are done, right?
That's correct.
So there's not concrete to pour or anything. So is cold weather much of an issue in installing the equipment that's left to be installed?
That's probably, I think the answer is no, but it's probably a better answer for an engineer than a lawyer to answer that one.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner Crispin. Commissioner Crosius.
Well, good morning. I'm going to wait on some of the questions for the next witness or witnesses. But just so I'm clear, ADLS was chosen in Q3 of 2020, correct?
That's correct.
And prior to that, was it just LIDS was... When was LIDS chosen? Because I don't think when the law was passed, did you immediately think that LIDS would be an option? That seemed to come several years later. Can you tell me when LIDS was chosen prior to switching back to ADLS or over to?
I don't know the answer to that, Commissioner Crosius. I think that'd be for Mr. Royster to address. I apologize.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. And in fact, this is pretty normal. Whoever is up first defers a lot, so it's not a problem. So just so he's queued up, then I would like to know if ADLS was the first assumption after the law was passed, and then it moved to LIDS, and then back to ADLS, and back, quote unquote, would be assuming that ADLS was the first default, then over to LIDS. So if you can just give me the time frame, not you, but the next witness, that would be great. And that would be it for me.
Okay.
I think that would work for Mr. Reister to address. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Crosius. All right, for myself, I think this is the best question best for you as an attorney, David. So is the company's request, so we have two options for allowing a delay, economic or technical reasons. Is your request that you are technically unable to meet this deadline and so you're asking for a waiver under the technical feasibility considerations?
Chair Fedorchak. We should have spelled that out in our request. I apologize, but it would be for technical reasons and not economic reasons.
Okay. In your letter, you say in the second to the last paragraph, the companies have worked diligently for the past year to develop a partnership to share the system across their five states. Find a reputable manufacturer and contract with that company with sufficient time to design and install the system. What do you mean by share this system across your five states?
The five sites are the Bison 1 through 4 and then Glen Ullin 1. And so instead of just having it for, instead of just Minnesota Power doing a system or Elite Clean Energy doing a system for its facility across the five wind sites.
All right.
To share and. So get efficiencies from that.
Got it. Well, I misread it. I thought it said states, not sites, five states.
We're happy just in North Dakota and Minnesota.
I think I did that the first time I read this letter, too, a while back. Okay. Let's see. I think that was the only two questions I had for you. So I think then, does anybody else have more for David? Looks like Brian does.
I do have one more. When was the FAA approval obtained for the ADLS?
Hang on one second.
Okay.
Can I look? I've got that somewhere. I just don't have it right in front of me. If I could come back to that or have look that up quick.
That's fine. That's fine. Or if somebody else can answer it too, that's not a problem either.
Okay.
All right. Commissioner Crisman has another question.
Sorry, but I thought of another thing that has had me kind of mixed up on this case, and I always forget to ask staff or someone. The Glen Allen Energy Center has this old case number because I recall this, it was applied for and before I was here, and then it kind of got delayed or partially withdrawn or something, but then much later we dealt with it. It's a much newer case than what the 11 number would reflect. When did the Glen Allen Energy Center go into, when was it constructed, or when did it go into operations?
So Commissioner Crisman, so the site permit was approved in, I believe it was 2012. I think it's, like I said, the 2011 case number. And we had it, you know, kind of in the queue if things changed or kind of if we could develop the project, but we got the site permit in place because the land was there and kind of having that, going through that process. But it was not in, you know, constructed and operated until 2019. We had also done some road work, I believe it was in 2016 or 2017, to ensure PTC qualification. So we had done some initial construction prior to that. So it's gone through a couple of different iterations as far as timing, but it went in service in 2019.
And so didn't that require ADLS right away? Or is the ADLS system operational there?
I think because of the timing on when the commission issued its site permit, I believe it did not require it until 2021, is our reading of the statute.
Yep. Now I'm refreshed. Thank you, David.
Sure.
Okay. I have one more question I remembered. In the letter from Hensoldt, it says, it is our expectation that this will remain the situation, this meaning the delays, for at least the balance of this year, as the semiconductor manufacturers seek to maximize the volume of devices produced from their available capacity. What makes you think you'll get these in time to meet the 4-month extension? And if you can't answer that, you can defer it to somebody else.
Yeah, I believe, Chair Fedorchuk, the answer is that we've had additional discussions with the vendor, but it'd probably be better for Ben or Bill to address that.
Oh, wait. All right. I'm going to just give everyone one last chance to ask you questions. Doesn't look like there's any. All right. Thank you, David. Who would you like to speak next for the company?
Let's have Ben Reister for Minnesota Power go next.
Okay. And he's on the phone.
He's on the phone, Ethan.
All right. Okay, Ben. Can you hear us?
Hello. Yes.
Okay, very good. I don't know if you have any opening comments you want to make, or if you have been keeping notes of the questions that you want to ask, or if you want me to ask you some of them. I'll let you make some opening comments if you'd like, and then we can dive into questions.
No additional overview comments from me. I guess if you want to just start with the questions, that'd be fine.
Okay. Brian?
I know one of the commissioners asked this already, and we had run into it on a different site with a different company. Cold weather was an issue for the wiring of the radar tower, and that's what held them up. They had everything in place except for the tower. How confident are you guys that cold weather will not delay if this would come in, say, in December or January? You're pretty positive that you can install it in cold weather?
Yes, thanks for the question. In talking with our vendor, which is Detect, they haven't indicated any concerns with cold weather being a factor in installation. And from my experience with erecting wind turbines, there's usually no issues with weather, besides if there's a blizzard that day, but usually the next day or the day after you can do the work.
Okay, and it's my understanding that the lights that, if they needed to be changed at all, have already been installed on the turbines?
So that's in progress right now.
Okay.
For the Bison site, we have approximately half of the new lights installed. We're doing about, I would say, 20 per week. So we'll be complete with that by the end of this month. And as far as Glen Allen progress on those, I would have to defer to Bill.
Sure. And then how many tower sites or radar installation towers are going to be needed to cover and span the entire five projects?
Sure. So the entire project consists of two radar towers. There's an east tower, which covers the eastern half of Bison. And there's a western tower, which covers all of Glen Allen and the western half of Bison.
Okay. And foundations have been poured, but towers have not been erected, correct?
Correct. Foundations have been poured. The towers themselves have been delivered. So they'll be ready to be erected as soon as the concrete meets its design strength.
Okay. And you think that'll happen within a month, 2 months?
I would say by early November at the latest.
Okay. So then it's basically just to install the radar unit is all you guys will have left.
That's correct.
And that, talking with the company, I mean, do you guys know where they're at? They're manufactured and in transit and delayed due to COVID probably, or what's the status on where the actual radar units are at?
My understanding is they are manufactured overseas, I think in Europe, and the semiconductor supply issue is the primary driver for the delays, so they can't ship until that component is installed.
Okay, and as far as the FAA approval process, I'm assuming you had to have made a determination and submit a plan to them for approval?
That is correct. Our vendor, Detect, prepared the submittal for both Bison and Glen Allen. And I believe it was September 23rd that the FAA approved Bison's. They gave us a determination of no hazard. And our environmental compliance professional is expecting the Glen Allen approval to come shortly.
Okay, so you don't have the Glen Allen approval yet?
That's my understanding right now.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I have right now.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Patrick, any questions?
Just have one. The FCC approval for the radar site is separate from the FAA approval, I understand. And so have you received that at this point?
So the previous professional environmental and compliance that I mentioned has indicated to us that we are the understanding that the tower height and the details of the location that they're going to be constructed that does not meet any FCC requirements. So that's where we're at right now with the FCC.
You're saying
so we don't expect to have any submittals to them.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Commissioner Christman?
Mr. Moeller talked about that long time spell from mid-2017 until, say, middle of 2020. So basically 3 years, and emphasized environmental impacts. This is one of the things to weigh in the differences between ADLS and LIDS. Can you tell me about the perceived environmental impact differences?
Yes. So with the LIDS technology, the units can be placed on the turbines themselves. So the light visibility detectors can be placed on the existing wind turbines, and the lights are already on them too. So instead of having to dig foundations, trench in cable, and all the other infrastructure you need for the radar towers, you just have basically a bolt-on component for the wind turbine.
So the difference really is two radar towers and then whatever the detection system is. Is that a third land-based thing where you had to acquire easement and build something? Can you elaborate on what the third part is that you said does not require FCC approval?
Sure. So the FCC approval part that I was talking about is for the radar towers that we're installing.
Okay. So there's really only two new facilities going up, and that's the two towers.
That is correct.
How many turbines are in the four Bison projects?
165.
Do you know how many are in... You're just affiliated with Bison, right? Not Glenallan?
That's correct.
Do you know how many are in Glenallan?
I believe 42 or 43.
So, with over 200 turbines spread across however many square miles that is. You spent 3 years lamenting between technologies over the environmental impact of putting in two more radar towers, and that was the primary cause of the first 3 years of delay.
Yeah, so as David mentioned, I'd say that's, you know, a part of it. We take into account all the aspects of the project. Initially, early on, as we mentioned in the timeline, we only knew about one vendor for ADLS, and that was Laufer Wind. And they ended up, I believe, going bankrupt sometime in 2018. And then we started to talk with Terma and Technostrobe in 2018 and 2019 about further ADLS and LIDS vendors. So it was just sort of hard to find the vendors, and the technology was still in its infancy at that time.
Along the way, some other wind farms in North Dakota that were cited after that law went into effect and had a faster implementation requirement actually built their ADLS systems out. I don't know if they used that company that you mentioned that was the only one you were aware of, but at the time when you only knew of one, were any efforts put forth with other wind developers to find out who they were using or search for additional vendors?
I can't speak to everybody in the company's efforts on this, but I know I spoke with a couple wind farm operators in North Dakota, but it was probably in the 2018 timeframe, and that's when we started to learn about Terma and started engaging with them.
Okay. Thank you. I have no other questions.
Thank you, Commissioner Christman. All right, Commissioner Crosius.
Okay, do you have access to, it'd be docket item 206, which is, it was dated October 11th, 2021. It has, you know, the general time frame that, you know, related to some of the questions, but I had more specifics on that.
Can you say the date of the document one more time, please?
It was dated October 11th, 2021. And
yes, I do have.
Okay, it gives the timeline overview. So within that timeline overview, were you running, I just want to clarify, so Q3 2017, you began with the ADLS product, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and then in Q3 of 2018, he received the proposal, but then several quarters later, you received a LIDS proposal. Were you looking at both of them simultaneously, or did you abandon the ADLS prospect when you started to look at LIDS?
So this was a little before my direct involvement. Somebody within our strategy and planning department was involved. And my understanding is we were reaching out to any vendors that we were aware of at the time. That's about my knowledge of back then.
Okay. So there, as far as you know, then an ADLS proposal was received, in Q1 of 2020. Would you say that was just a continued part of the process, or did you have to resurrect the request for that proposal?
So Q1 2020, that was when we received it from DTECT. Mm-hmm. I believe we knew of Terma and Technostrobe for ADLS and LIDS prior to that. And then DTECT, we learned from other sites in the area that were using DTECT, so we solicited a proposal from them at that time.
Okay. So, in Q3 of 2020, were you concerned at that point? Did the vendors? You said that their chip is one of the delays. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did they express that concern to you when they submitted the proposal that we may have supply chain issues?
No. The first that we heard about that was this summer, 2021. They were providing us the 6 to 8 months expected lead time back in Q3 2020. So it was all parties' expectation that we had plenty of time at that point.
Mm-hmm. Was there an ongoing dialogue from Q3 of 2020 and getting into what, generally speaking, this past summer when you found out about the issue with the chip issue that was going to potentially cause a delay? Or would cause a delay?
There was, yes. In early 2020, we began having monthly meetings with DTECT, our supplier, just on the overall status of the project, schedule, any issues. And then later on in summer of this year, we went to 2-week intervals between meetings. So we've had a continual open dialogue with our vendor to keep everything moving.
Okay. But at no time prior to this past summer did they indicate that there was a concern on whether or not they would have a supply chain issue with the chip?
That is correct.
I wouldn't be terribly happy with them to wait until that point in time to spring it on you. By the way, we might have a problem because they had to know what their inventory was from a manufacturing standpoint. Wouldn't you agree?
I guess I don't know all the aspects of manufacturing of that unit. I just know that there's been a lot of semiconductor shortages across the globe this year, this spring and this summer. So it didn't come as a complete shock that there was some unexpected delays, but the whole thing is quite unexpected, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprising scenario either. I'm just a little perplexed at their lack of communication. If they weren't indicating to you along the way, we might have a problem, we might have an issue. Because if I were in your shoes, I'd be very insistent on, we have a deadline to meet. And we have to know we're going to be able to get this component. So it's also on the company, in my opinion, to be pressing the vendors when you've got a hard deadline rapidly approaching. And in the whole scheme of things, this past summer, we're getting to the bitter end. Okay, no other questions, or I guess the last was a comment, but none of the above. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Crosses. All right, I just have a couple questions myself remaining, and that is, What does kind of, another question related to what Commissioner Crosius was asking about with your vendor, what does your contract with them say in terms of when they are to deliver the product to you?
Yeah, so the timeline that we were discussing just previously, it does have milestones included with it, and those are directly from our contract with Detect. It's a payment milestone schedule. So the equipment was scheduled to ship on September 9th or September 13th, 2021. So that's where we had some contractual verbiage in there about that schedule.
Okay. And are they liable for any financial penalties from you if they don't meet that?
I would probably have to defer that to David, but I don't recall like a liquidated damage part of the contract.
Sure, I'd be interested if we'll come back to David for that question later. Okay, two more questions. Do you, have you had any conversations with the local landowners about this project in general, the light mitigating technology, the, you know, anything related to this project, its deadline, the extension that you've requested? Has anybody expressed any concerns or interest to you at all about this in terms of the landowners?
We have not received, at least I'm not aware of any questions from landowners about the project or the requirement for it. We've definitely been in contact with the landowners where we're installing the towers, but I would say that's all I'm aware of right now.
Okay, so your sense is that the folks out there aren't aware that this is happening or paying attention to this deadline?
That would be my sense, yes.
All right. Are you in pretty regular contact with landowners on this site, these bison sites?
We've got a property and right-of-way agent that has regular communications with landowners, make sure that annual any payments are sent out and all that. So.
And then are you in contact with that property manager?
Yes. That individual reports to me.
Okay. So if he or she was getting questions, you would hear about it?
Correct.
Okay. And then I'm interested in, you may or may not be the right person for this. I think you probably are. Is the project with this ADLS operating, is it more expensive to operate it?
In relation to anything else, or
in not having it on, is it more expensive once you put it on there? Is it more expensive to operate the facility with the ADLS system?
Yes, I would say that it is. There's some scheduled maintenance that has to be performed on the radar itself. Any upkeep on the communication system. The lights themselves would be an added cost.
But the lights you have to maintain regardless. So are these lights more expensive than the previous lights?
So we had to add a light control module to the turbines so that the lights can receive the signal from the radar. So it's added equipment in each tower that you may need to repair or replace as needed.
Okay, so the maintenance, because I get that, you know, there's capital expenditures to install it, but once it's installed, I'm trying to understand. What I'm trying to get at is what was the motivation for waiting? If there was some other motivation, like this is more expensive, we want to wait as long as possible to have to operate the facility with this new lighting system. Because it doesn't make sense to me why wind companies would defer this to the last minute when it's something that is a good PR tool. Like, I don't get it. you're not exactly killing it here in North Dakota with the PR. So why wouldn't you do this in a timely manner? So help me understand how much more of a hassle it is to operate the site with these lights, this lighting system.
So it requires constant monitoring to make sure that the system is operational. As I said, there's going to be some annual maintenance on the radars themselves. I'd say those are the primary ongoing maintenance and operation items for the project.
Okay. And is that, if you were to look at a percentage increase in operating costs, any idea what that might be?
That would be difficult for me to estimate right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe like 5%, 1%, any ballpark?
Order of magnitude, 1-3%, I will say.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think that concludes my questions. I'll go around the loop again, see if anybody else, Brian, Randy?
No. One more.
Brian Crosius has one more.
That's very formal. The question is, just a clarification, the FAA, were you pursuing the FAA for approval on both ADLS and LIDS simultaneously?
Not for site approval. My understanding is when you're getting close to a final design being completed for your project, that's when you would go for approvals from the FAA, essentially right before you're ready to begin that construction. You wouldn't ask for approvals for a system that is like theoretical, I guess you might say.
Okay, so they don't approve the design prior to construction, or did I misunderstand?
So they would approve the design prior to construction, but our understanding was we had ample time to get the FAA approvals once we had our vendor selected, and we wouldn't have gone for approvals with, you know, vendors that we potentially would not hire.
Okay. So it was never an issue then in terms of the FAA holding up any part of the process, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Excellent. Thank you, Ben. I think that you're off the hook now. We've concluded all our questions for you. David, do you want to come back and answer that one question that Ben wasn't able to address?
And Chair Podorchek, I'm checking on that answer. Okay. I didn't work on that contract, but I'm checking with the attorney that did. So if we, maybe I might have an answer by the time you're done with Bill, and if not, we can file something in the record.
Perfect.
After the hearing. But I don't know offhand. I assume we do have some type of damage thing, but I didn't work on it.
Okay, that sounds great. Also, if there's an out for them because of whatever COVID, if it's a, what's it called, force majeure?
Force majeure, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good to know as well, if they're going to be triggering that. All right, so who is the next company witness you'd like to have address us?
Bill Sawyer from Elite Clean Energy.
Okay, and he's the general manager of Elite, correct? And he's in the room. Very good.
He is. I see him on the screen.
Okay, Bill. Did you have any opening thoughts or questions you want to address right off the bat?
Yes, Chair Fedorchek, Commissioners, thank you for your time this morning. My opening comments on behalf of the company in total, so both the Bison sites for Minnesota Power and the Clean Energy Glen Ullin site for Elite Clean Energy, is all one contiguous complex of land with two different operating companies operating those sites within the Elite umbrella. And we feel that we operated prudently on behalf of best interests of the landowners that we have as partners at both of those sites, as well as the company and our customers. Throughout this process of 4 years, when we started the initial 2017 assessment of the ADLS version of the technology, and doing the engineering and the design of what that could be, what that could look like for the site, in terms of Bison being the part of the site that was operational at that time. So as we were assessing the technology of ADLS, then this LIDS technology also kind of hit the market as a potential. So we started doing an assessment of that technology at the same time in parallel, ADLS and LIDS, all while from the company perspective looking to develop and build the Glen Ullin site. So understanding that Glen Ullin wasn't in service yet, but was imminently coming, not to be in service until the end of 2019. So we're doing engineering assessment of technologies on one pathway while understanding we have to design and build the Glen Ullin on the other pathway. If I look at both of those and say, what's in the best interest of the landowners at the site? Is it build two separate systems with multiple radar towers to cover both sites? Or is it wait until both sites are ready to go, combine those together from a company perspective, which is what we did through the course of 2020 after Glen Ullin came in service, and know that we had the right technology at that time. So I would say it was parallel pathways to some of the questions that have been asked of why did we take that amount of time to do our assessment, to pick the technology, and to be able to install the technology. And so I think the company acted prudently in our process throughout that time frame, and really looking in what is the best interest for the landowners, for the site, for the impacts on the site. And certainly there's been questions here today about the environmental impacts. I would call those also landowner impacts of the radar stations that we're now installing. So the two stations across the whole footprint, which also have some access roadways, so gravel roadways to access those stations, and then the underground collector cable, both for the electrical feed to the radar stations to power those, and the feed for the fiber to get the communications from the radar stations back out to the controllers for all the turbines. So when we talk about environmental impact, it's, yes, impact on the environment, but it's also impact on the landowners. And so what's best over the course of this time frame, 2017 to 2021, for our landowners in total across this whole footprint, we felt it was best for us to figure out which technology was going to be the front runner and be technically viable to install and installable by the end of 2021, while assessing the impacts on the landowners and what's the best project for our landowners as we move forward. And so we took all that into consideration on these parallel pathways throughout that time frame, and landed certainly on the ADLS being the technology well in advance, we felt, of the time needed to finish the design, get the FAA approvals, get the permits, install the foundations, collector cables, the lighting controls on each turbine, and get this system up and operational by the end of 2021. And certainly our feeling is that with supply shortages across the globe, really on the global pandemic of these semiconductors or chips, that is a condition that's out of our control, and we feel well enough in advance to have this project in place and ready to go. And if it weren't for that, we feel we would meet that deadline of the end of 2021.
Very good. Thank you for those opening comments. Brian, do you have any questions? Brian Johnson?
I do. So I guess kind of in response to Commissioner Christman's earlier question, the large gap and delay in taking a lot of action was to wait for Glen Ullin Energy Center to be built and come online to do this as one project versus two. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Council. I would say it was that alongside of parallelly looking at the technology and which technology between ADLS and LIDS would be the front runner, the best technology to install and really the most viable technology long-term. And LIDS, as we all know, has been going through their own company process, waiting for their FAA approval of their technology, which, as far as we understand, has not been received. And so when we got to the time frame in Q3 of 2020, more than a year ago, we said, we need to shift the technology to the technology that's commercially viable today, which is ADLS, and move forward with that project so we can meet our deadline.
Okay. And if it weren't for your vendor, the third party delay, you believe this would have been completed on time?
Yes, sir.
I guess that's all the questions I have, Pat. Do you have any?
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Chrisman.
Bill, is Elite or any affiliate members of any trade organizations where you communicate with other wind developers or operators?
Chair Fedorchik, Commissioner Chrisman, yes, we are. Formerly AWEA, the National Trade Organization for Wind. They have a new name now, but we are a member of that organization and work with our peers in that group.
So that's a national organization, though, but I assume it includes other North Dakota operators?
Commissioner Chrisman, yes.
Was any discussion had in those, you know, first two or three years after the law went into effect among wind energy operators, that if we're all waiting to see if LIDS is going to be available, we are going to cause a supply chain problem when everybody tries to do the same thing at the very end? Did anyone ever visit about that we're all doing the same thing here? We have a 4.5 year gap and we're all waiting until the end?
Commissioner Chrisman, thank you for the question. I'm not aware of any conversations that I was in that were pointed to that question on that point. Certainly it was believed that the supply chain was robust enough to be able to serve the purposes of the companies that needed to move forward with this technology.
How many companies around the country, I'm not looking for a precise number, but if you happen to know it, is this pretty common, the ADLS being built out around the nation now, or is it still not real common?
Commissioner Crispin, I don't have the direct answer to that question of how common it is across the country, other than to say some states have a requirement for this technology, but not all states do around the country.
Would you say it's very many? Is it like three or four states or dozen or dozens or any kind of general idea how many states require?
Commissioner Chrisman, I do not know that answer. Generally, I would say fewer than half the states, a smaller number.
Okay. Thank you. No other questions.
Thank you, Commissioner Chrisman. Commissioner Cautious, any questions for Bill?
Just a couple of Bill, and to go over this again, this is your first deployment, first implementation of this type of technology, correct?
Chair Fedorchik, Commissioner Crosius, that is correct.
Okay. When you chose the vendor, how many vendors were there to choose from?
Commissioner Crossus, I don't have that direct answer, and certainly looking at the timeline that we filed, there are three vendor names on that timeline for ADLS over the course of that four-year time period, but I do not know how many, if either more or that exact number of companies sell this particular system. What we were aware of from the discussion that we just had with Mr. Reister was that early on, Elite had only found the one vendor that was supplying this system.
Is this type of system that you could put on a radio structure that is 500 feet, or I don't know if it's 500 or more, or more than 500, but I think that's the threshold where the FAA requires lights, and I could be off on the number, but there is a threshold. Does this vendor, to your knowledge, do they work with other companies that have different structures that aren't necessarily a wind turbine?
Commissioner Crosius, I don't know that answer. I'd have to defer that to Mr. Moeller or Mr. Reister.
And what I'm just trying to figure out is just how specialized is the vendor? If this is the only thing they do, which would be hard to believe since I think we're one of the first states to require the dimming, that this is a spinoff of something that they're doing for tall structures wherever they may exist. Otherwise, you just don't have a business model unless the company's new. But with that said, don't companies like Elite typically buy components in advance? Because it seems time after time when an application comes in for a siting permit on a wind facility that the turbines have already been bought there in the warehouse. Maybe the blades haven't been bought yet, but the turbines typically are stockpiled. Were there ever conversations about buying components in advance?
Commissioner Crosius, I would say likely not in this instance. Difference between the wind turbine components themselves is really a long lead time due to demand of that across not only the United States but the globe. And so getting ahead of that for an upcoming project is certainly mostly needed on the turbine components. This, again, being the first installation that we've had as a company and working with this company, Detect, they provided us with what their schedule was, which seemed reasonable to us to get the components in time within a 15-month time frame from October of 2020 and have those manufactured and be able to be installed.
Okay, which company again isn't around anymore? Is it Terma or Technostrobe?
Commissioner Crosius, I believe it is Lauffer Wind, which is the first bullet on the timeline for 2017.
Okay, so now the vendor of choice can't deliver in time. There aren't other vendors that you could switch over to get the components that you need?
Commissioner Crosius, there likely are other vendors of the technology. I cannot tell you whether they're fully supplied, committed to others, and seeing the same supply shortage of chips in their component manufacturing. We certainly just know where we stand with Detect.
Did you attempt to connect with other vendors knowing that we've got a deadline, we have to get this done, and Detect isn't going to be able to meet our needs from a timing standpoint? Did you switch the discussion to where else can we go?
Commissioner Crosius, thank you for the question. Certainly with the time frame that remained in July of 2021 when we heard from Detect, it certainly felt that others wouldn't be able to manufacture the unit. Certainly the process of doing the design and the installation and the unit that's specific to the foundations and the site, too long of a lead time needed to install, to go through the whole process and install a whole new system, versus waiting the 3 to 4 months for Detect to get their chips and to finish the system that we already have designed.
Okay. Well, this is more of a comment. At the time that you made the decision to move over to ADLS, which was Q3 of 2020, at that point in time, you had 18 months to make this happen. At that point in time, there were already concerns being raised about supply chain issues. Not as pronounced as certainly this past spring and summer, or present day, but they were still being raised. And that's just, to be honest, something I'm going to have to balance. Did you react quickly enough to the circumstances? Because at that point in time, the pandemic was known, the shutdowns were known, and people were scrambling. They were stockpiling, you name it, at the time. Everyone, well, I shouldn't say everyone, but certain items were difficult to find. So it had to be at the forefront of the thought process, wait a second. So then you place your trust in a vendor, which is a risk you assume, not a commission. But just when I balance this out, just so you know, and you might, this might help you to argue against it as, if anyone else is going to testify or if you have further comments, but did you move fast enough? Knowing in general the set of circumstances you were under to the point where it justifies at this stage of the game, we have a technical issue, which would be an exception. But I don't know if the legislature just said, you know, if it becomes an issue on the final in the final hour, then it's acceptable. So there's that as well. But I don't know if you want to make any comments to that or respond to that, or I'm just being candid.
Commissioner Crushis, that's a fair comment. That's a fair statement. Yes, certainly the pandemic has been going on since that time in 2020, as Mr. Reister testified, we've been in constant communication with this company. They felt early on in 2021 that their supply chain was at least robust enough for our project. I can't speak to projects beyond ours within their supply chain. And as things squeezed down during the summertime, their shortage became forthright for them in saying, we're not going to be able to make it because we can't get the chips. We can manufacture the entire radar unit, but we can't get the chips for the controller so that we can make it work for you.
All right. Thank you. I don't have anything else. Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Crushis. Okay. I don't think I have any questions for you. I do appreciate your explanation of the process that the company went through from 2017. Looking at the Glen Ullin project coming into the same area, operating it as one system, and then making the decision on which technology. And we tried to also clarify the situation with the lids, because there was a lot of gray area there in terms of whether it was or wasn't going to be available and what the status of with the FAA was, and Brian Johnson did a lot of work with our congressional offices to try to get the FAA to be clear about what was going on, which they ultimately did, which I think helped everybody move away from that technology then and get going on what is feasible. Otherwise, we'd still be sitting here wondering, well, maybe it is, and still be waiting, and that's not helpful. Who knows if it'll ever be approved? I mean, we just can't make decisions based on what might happen. So who knows, maybe that technology will advance and be viable down the road, but I appreciate the company moving forward and getting everything ready for this ADLS system. And I regret that this final piece is gonna hold things up. But I also appreciate all the information the company's provided as to what happened and why from your perspective. So I don't have any questions for you, Bill, but I appreciate you being here with your team. Let's see. David, any other folks from the company want to speak?
No, but if you want to hear more from Mr. Reister about some of the questions that Mr. Sawyer had as well, we'd be happy to have him come back up or whatever the right phrase is.
Okay. Did anyone have more questions for Mr. Reister?
This will be the easiest one of the day for you, Ben. I didn't catch this at the beginning if you said it, but for a record, how do you spell your last name?
Thanks for the question. Reister.
You answered that really confidently, too. Thank you. I don't have any other questions on the case itself.
Okay. Does anybody have Mr. Okay. Brian Johnson has a question.
Just a couple quick ones.
For Ben Reister, correct?
Yes. Yep. Okay. I believe this. So when was the decision to treat it as one project? I don't see it in the timeline. To treat them all as one and do one radar installation that controls them all, when was that determined?
I would say early 2020. I don't have an exact date for you.
Okay.
But that would be my answer.
And I know the decision was made to leave LIDS, go to ADLS in quarter three of 2020. And if I'm looking at the timeline right, is it pretty safe to say that just set you guys on the path forward to negotiating and having contracts drawn up and all that things? So technically contracts and the agreement wasn't in place until quarter one of 2021?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Okay. I don't think anybody else from Ireland has any questions for you, Ben, so thank you. All right, then, Mr. Moeller, do you or anybody from the company want to make any closing comments about your final summary of why you think you qualify for the technical feasibility considerations, a delay on that basis?
Thank you, Chair Fedorchak, and appreciate first the opportunity again to have the discussion today and the availability to participate remotely. I have a hearing with Chair Sieben tomorrow that she'd be mad if I was stuck in Bismarck, so I apologize for not being there in person. But I think we've met the criteria for our technology requirements under the statute for a very short extension. I think we've also done everything to do as get ready as possible for when the technology can be delivered, recognizing the chip delays and other things that have happened. And we appreciate the commission's comments, the commissioner's comments and questions about, what is timely and kind of making sure we did everything we can. And we feel we have done that in this case, but we recognize there's always more to do. And so we'll continue to work hard to get this installed as soon as possible if the commission grants the extension. And we're here, if there's other information the commission would like, we'd be happy to submit that into the record. Including the question on contract damages. I'm still kind of working through that, but we'll get that submitted into the record as soon as possible. And be happy to, if there's anything else the commissioners would like to see addressed, let us know.
All right.
But thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moeller. All right, so I think that was the only thing that we had outstanding was the provisions in the contract for the vendor delays, if there's any recourse that the company has in their contract with the vendor. Otherwise, I think we can go to closing comments. So, Commissioner Chris.
Public testimony.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. Would have completely forgotten. I got ahead of myself. Jason, do we have anyone from the public on the line?
We have two listeners.
Okay. Do you want to open it up and see if they have any comments, or how were they supposed to let us know?
If they can either do a hand raise, or since it's two, we can just open it up and ask if either one of them has comments.
Okay. Why don't we do that? And then will they hear me? Okay. Ready? Is it open?
Yeah. If they want to raise their hand and speak, then they just type in the prompt, *9, I believe.
Okay. So for the callers who are listening, if you're members of the public and have any comments you'd like to share, we would love to hear from you. This is really your time to go on the record and express any thoughts or concerns that you might have about what the company is proposing in terms of a delay in the implementation of the light mitigating technology. If you would like to speak, you can raise your hand or hit *9 and introduce yourself with your name and where you live, and we'd be happy to hear from you. So, now's the time. Anything? Okay. All right. It doesn't appear as if any members of the public are listening in want to express any thoughts on this case. So with that, I think we're ready for closing comments, and I'll turn to Commissioner Chrisman first.
Well, I don't have a lot to add at this point. I am somewhat frustrated that the company chose to wait as long as it did after the 2017 legislation, but there was no requirement in that to start at a certain time either, and so I'll think through the information that was provided. I do want to thank Mr. Moeller. I don't know if we had requested this, and I was on the road the last 2 days and got in this morning and seen this timeline that was sent out yesterday. That really was helpful instead of trying to go through it in testimony here and write everything down. So I do appreciate that at the end. It helps put it into perspective, and I expect I'll be able to reach a decision fairly quickly.
Excellent. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. Commissioner Crosses?
Just thank you to the company. Thank you to staff. And I think we have the information, at least I do, needed to make a decision. So appreciate that. The function was effective from that standpoint. So everyone have a good day.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. So appreciate the company being here in person and remotely. It's great to have this technology that allows for that and allows for a good share of information. And thanks for kind of being the guinea pigs on our first hearing of this nature and working through that process. I think it was a little herky-jerky at the beginning, but we got it down, and hopefully it was in an orderly way that we can all make sense of everything. This is, you know, not where we had hoped to be. We really, when this technology was first came on the scene and the industry really from the get-go embraced it and seemed pretty willing to incorporate this technology and do its best to mitigate one of these issues that there's a solution to in terms of the landowner impacts. And so it feels like it's a long time in coming, and so it's really hard for us to entertain the idea of delaying it even further. So that said, the company has that right under the law to ask for the extension. There are some extreme circumstances at play here, like there is everywhere nowadays. And so I appreciate all the information you provided today, and we'll go through the record and come to a decision, you know, as quickly as possible. I imagine we'll have a work session in the not too distant future, talk about it, and then try to come up with a decision at one of our next commission meetings. So we'll look forward to the information coming back on the contract. Hopefully we can get that, I'm guessing within a week, probably response on what the contract says in terms of your leverage with the vendor, and then we'll wrap things up from there. So with that, this case is closed, and the record is closed except for the addition of that last late filed exhibit from the company. It's about 5 to 10. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you being here, and appreciate your time on these cases today.